The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny podcast. Whataburger fucking sucks.
Oh, shit.
And that's where we're starting. Clear comms on Andy, because he doesn't get to say anything. The year, ladies and gentlemen, was 2003. Yeah. It was New Year's Eve.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Your Missouri Tigers were playing in the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana. So Walter came over to my house, picked me up extremely early. We drove there, me, Poe, my ex-wife slash girlfriend at the time, drove to Shreveport, Louisiana. We roll it so early, just pitch black, Nick. It was pitch black when we left Columbia.
Can't even see your nose.
We drive into Shreveport. We're already kind of late. Straight to the ball game. Straight to the tailgate. Let's tailgate. We tailgate. We get fucked up, Andy. You know what I mean? We're college kids drinking. They're underage, having a great time.
They're so rad.
And so we go to the game. Mizzou loses. They lose to Arkansas. It was 27-14. Mizzou lost.
I was going to ask, yeah.
The game ends. We already have the pounding hangover headache happening, right? Because we didn't drink enough water inside the thing. So we're like, let's go to the hotel. We check in. We celebrate a nice new year. We roll up on the hotel, and it looks like Revenge of the Nerds spring break.
Yeah.
Right? There are people everywhere. It's anarchy. We go in there like, hi, here's our printout. We're old. This is 2003. Here's our printed out piece of paper. We have a reservation.
Our confirmation.
And they look
when Revenge of the King or Return of the King came out.
Yeah.
They look us dead in the eye and they just go, we have no rooms. And we're like, oh no, but we have a reservation. And they're like, no, we overbooked the room. We have no rooms. There's no rooms here. We're like, okay, do you need any other hotels around here that have? They're like, no, there's not going to be anything. This bowl game is out of control. Like, it's not happening. And so we get out. We go to a couple more hotels. Nothing there. We talk to some friends. They're like, well, we're already bunking up. If these antlers are shoving into this room, they're going to sleep there, you know, on the floor. Yada, yada. I was like, all right. Walter decides, I will just drive. I will start driving back towards Columbia, Missouri. And Kevin, I'm going to need you to Google. I don't remember anymore how long the drive is between Columbia, Missouri and Shreveport, Louisiana. I need that information.
Mm-hmm.
He will just drive.
It sounds long.
On New Year's Eve, it was.
Is it longer than 45 minutes?
Yes.
It's a long time.
He's going to drive north and just get us. We'll find a hotel, I'm sure. We'll just get out of the city. We'll just get out of town. It's just bumper to bumper. We are stuck on the fucking highway, right? There's no movement. We count 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year. We are all trapped in Walter's fucking car. No one is drunk anymore. Walter. Everyone is miserable. At one point, Walter punches the wheel of his car, and he breaks one of his fingers because Walter had this brittle bone disease kind of thing going on. I don't know what it's all about, but it's true. Yeah. If I'm lying, I'm dying. So here we go. Shreveport, Louisiana, Columbia, Missouri. Nine and a half hours.
I saw the image flash, and I thought it was going to be a brittle bone image.
That's what I thought, too. I thought it was going to be like Mr. Glass.
Eventually, you get moving. We're on the highway, fine. We drive. We swing off at one of the first few exits. No hotel. Another exit, no hotel. We drive one. There's this burned-out hotel. We're like, that's just creepy. Keep going. We keep going. I forget how many hours we go. But we eventually, I'll say 2 in the morning, maybe a little bit north of that, maybe a little south of that. We pull off. This hotel has a room. Thank fucking God. This sucks. We don't want to be on the road anymore. Mizzou is lost. We're hungover. This sucks. And in the parking lot is a Whataburger. And I've never had Whataburger, but I've heard people talk about Whataburger. I enjoy a good regional fast food chain. Sure. We go out there. It's pandemonium, of course. It's a Whataburger on New Year's Day now. And you know what I mean? You got a bunch of drunks in there, whatever. We order.
It's your classic 2 in the morning Whataburger.
We order some cheeseburgers.
Everybody's hungover and drunken.
Some fries. Take them back to the hotel room. And I remember going, this is so unremarkable. This is a fast food chain that deserves no flowers. I didn't know this phrase at the time. I hadn't met Blessing yet. No flowers.
Oh.
It deserves. No one should talk about this fucking place. I would take a Hardee's, /Carl's Jr., depending on your location, open this any day of the
Carl's
week.
Carl's Jr. is good.
I'm not even going to bring McDonald's into the conversation. That's an insult to McDonald's. Why would I bring the King down to this? Burger King, which I don't ever think about, I still would have eaten over this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is bad. And so then for about 20 years, I've been like, well, Whataburger sucks. Now, I don't have the blood feud with Whataburger that, of course, Poe has with Quiznos, where he won't go inside it. But again, the situation has never really presented itself where I'm like, hey, I need to go inside a Whataburger. You know what I mean? That's just not happening in those few times we've been back to Texas and all these different things. But why? I don't know why, but I have to fight the fight constantly on the internet about In-N-Out.
You're the only one.
That I think In-N-Out's fucking awesome.
Worst
right?
fries, yeah.
It's overrated. Yes, it's overrated. The most amazing things are
good
overrated.
Good burgers. Good burgers.
But every time I bring up fries. How much I want to bring up, how much I like a In-N-Out or something, some fucking backwards idiot in a goddamn cowboy hat throws a wild fucking punch about Whataburger.
Probably named Andy.
So many fucking people in cowboy hats coming at me about Whataburger over In-N-Out. And I'm like,
tell they're wearing the hat
fuck,
the
maybe I got a bad Whataburger. Maybe I had a bad Whataburger experience. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I have just returned from San Antonio, Texas, where guess what? There was a fucking Whataburger there. And so what
many
happened?
Them,
what happened on Friday night, ladies and gentlemen? I had a few drinks. You know what I mean? Wow. I had a few drinks. My friend Ashley came. She brought her two boys. We didn't have that many drinks in front of them. Don't worry. And then I had some wings at Dave & Buster's with them, but I didn't go wild. You know what I mean? It wasn't a what?
D&B.
DMB, yeah, that's right. Not to be accused DMB. You know what I mean? Whoa, what'd you say?
Found a mailman in a monkey Dave on Matthews a train. Man.
Don't no, push my lifeline.
Remember when they swore that everyone called him that? I was like, they don't call him that. It's not a thing.
DMB, man.
They do call him that, man. That's a real thing. Anyways, I leave the boys in Ashley's hotel, and I walk back to mine. We're in different hotels. And on the walk, I'm like... On the walk, I'm like, I don't feel hungry, but I must be hungry. Should I swing off of that Whataburger? Because San Antonio, if you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, don't get me wrong, I'm swinging hard on Whataburger here, and I will continue. San Antonio, you also deserve a fucking kick in the teeth, all right? You are a soulless fucking village.
Kevin, eating Whataburger right now?
And so I'm walking back to my hotel. Maybe I'm going to be hungry. Maybe I'm not. I know that there's a Whataburger one block over. I know it's 24 hours. I know that there's a Denny's down there. That's 24 hours. I'm not doing the Denny's thing. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm not that hungry.
Good cheese sticks there at Denny's, though.
Sometimes.
I had IHOP recently. It was a mistake.
I get into the hotel. I get all the way up to my room. It started to drizzle a bit, so I was a little bit wet, right? Get into my room. I crack the computer. I'm like, what about a pizza? Nothing pizza's open. Again, San Antonio, nothing.
Peter Breyer pizza.
Trust me. I fucking saw it there, but closed. It's not 24 hours. This is like, 12:30, 1 o'clock. Actually, I have timestamps in a second. And so I'm like, you know what?
Usually on the weekends, usually 11.
Again, 12:30. Yeah, exactly.
Just missed it.
I look at the thing, though, and I'm like, Whataburger's still open. It's 24 hours. I'm like, all right, fine. Let's fucking do this. Let's give Whataburger another chance. I clear the mechanism. I'm going to check all my
things. Because maybe you got the bad Whataburger.
And so what I do is I text my friend, Andy Cortez. Now, I text him, and it's 12:04 p.m.
Yeah.
And I say, noon? Andy. 12:04 a.m. My apologies. Your time, 10:04 p.m. All right, that's nighttime.
Just have woken up right then.
Thank you for reading my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Yes, Andy Cortez, the night owl here, right? I text him at 10:04.
Yeah.
Andy, and these are us can text. I'll tell you when we get out of 10:04. Andy, I'm a little bit drunk and a lot of bit hungry. I'm going to Whataburger. What's the order?
You sent me all that?
I'm jumping on the mercy of the court here, Nick, right? Because I'm saying... I did so it far. Wrong before. What is the thing to what get that
I'm not the
there?
Person to ask anyway. I always get the plain Jane.
10:05. That was all in 10:04. 10:05. I'm feeling a double cheeseburger and onion rings, but if that's not the move, LMK.
Let me know.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Sometimes these naps run long.
No response.
BBW.
It's 10:05/12:05, right? No response from Andy. At 10:20.
Oh, my God. You texted me a lot.
15 minutes later, I say, Andy, ... this place is a demilitarized zone. It is anarchy. 10:23. Andy, there's like 400 people here and two employees. 10:24. Andy, people are getting ready to mutiny, and I just got here. 10:25, I sent a photo of my receipt, and I say, Andy, this is how they spelled my name. It's G-R-E-A-G.
Yeah, that's how they spell it in San Antonio.
10:36, I say, Andy, this place sucks. And so then I get the food, and it is
I was napping.
Insane. <Real bad. laughs> There is a man there dressed as Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Was just it Stone Cold?
No, it wasn't Stone Cold. And then there's a bunch of other people drunk. The ice is poured out of the ice machine onto the thing and all over the... Again, there are over... I feel bad for the employees here. There's one woman working the register, and then a couple in the back that are making the food, and then these other people keep coming out with all of the bags in their hand.
They weren't prepared for the rumble.
People are so bad. This is Friday night before the rumble. This is a Friday in San Antonio.
Yeah, but it's you know...
They're giving out the food. They're doing the thing. I wait a long time, but I'm cool as a cucumber, Nick.
Yeah, you're.
I'm having a good time. I'm not worried about it. I'm not in a bad way. I don't want to fight anybody here. You know what I mean?
The chat's popping off right now. I just need you to know. With Greg sucks.
G-R-E-A-G. With the new art, the new spelling. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Take this back to my hotel.
Swags.
Put it down. Open it up. Bust out this double cheeseburger, onion rings, and all of it. So unimpressively mid. So unimpressive. I walked by a McDonald's.
Earlier.
I walked by a fucking McDonald's that was still open. I should have gone there because at least their burgers have a taste.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a this is very similar to what I got. Just a actually looks like exact fucking and it was dry.
It looks
the
so
burgers
dry.
Just ugh. It was just nothing.
Okay, in what defense though?
How does the lettuce look dry?
In what
lettuce
is defense, mostly you're a stupid fucking idiot. Okay, you have awful taste. No one likes any of your opinions. No one likes you as a human being. So go fuck yourself. Okay, I'm gonna go fucking take you back to San Antonio. Greg's been... I can keep going.
Fuck the face.
Please explain for the audio listeners.
Was that, Greg was just making a face.
Is that the Laurel's dad face? Because it looks like the Laurel's dad face.
There's more head tilt. It was more of a turtle
Wait,
face.
What face? No, that face you're making right there is the face from Shallow House, Saving Silverman, when the family has the circus family and one of the kids, like the little dog boy. He's like half boy, half dog. And he's like...
And so I just feel like I had to say something because again I gave him two chances 20 years apart and now it's that thing of everybody's catching strays today. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Now we're
back to New York pizza. New York pizza is the best pizza in the world. And I go, I had it here. You didn't get the right place. You got to go to John on Bleecker's. Then you're saying John on Bleecker's is the best pizza in the world. All right,
amen, brother.
We can't say Whataburger is the best burger. Maybe your Whataburger is great. Maybe for some reason, fucking some kind of mutation rock fell in all these people. They're just bugging. They're making the burgers better somehow. The radiation is there.
Okay. The mutation rock makes them make it better.
I just wanted
to clarify.
I definitely wanted radiation.
To clarify.
But it came.
I wasn't sure where the mutants were coming in this conversation.
It's like a fucking marker from Dead Space. Anyways, I'm sure that's happening. But then you can't say, you went too late. You went in the drunk hour, then fucking close your doors. Because from open to close, in and out of serving great fucking burgers. Look, any time of the goddamn day that they're open, you go there.
Consistency.
If you're going to tell me at 10:30 it turns into fucking snakes.
You're on
good
some
fries,
great.
Though, right? Good fries?
I had onion rings. Nobody fucking... My best friend fucking Andy saw 900 texts from me and ignored him. And it's that's the other thing about... Now it's Andy. Let's take Andy to the clear. Andy fucking sucks, man. You said this guy...
He does.
Here's Nick... I've never met someone more desperate for Andy's approval than you. It's you and I are on the same couch in the same boat for the same reason.
Yeah.
To the point that when he doesn't answer my text, which is often,
I was never.
I pivot. Well, it's a night. I'll send late night texts. 10:30.
Yeah.
When I don't get a response,
when can we get through?
When I don't get a response, you know what I do?
Mm.
I fucking open the Twitch app to see if he's live.
Yeah.
What is this kid's excuse?
So here's what happens.
And he wakes up in the morning. Sees he's got 40 notifications or maybe he doesn't because he's using Android and Android's like, I don't know what's going on. I'm barely a fucking phone. You know what I mean?
We got beef with Whataburger. We got beef with Android.
Here's what happened. In my defense, I was napping. Okay. What happens a lot.
You were sick.
What happens a lot on Friday night. Thank you, Nick. Thank you. What happens a lot on Friday night.
How long do you want to milk the sickness? Because you were sick on fucking Tuesday. Ooh. Friday was really good.
Come back. The singing voice is coming back. What happened on Friday was, what happens a lot on weekends, like I'm so tired and I'll just put my head down for a little nappy do.
Mm-hmm.
Around 7-ish. I'll be like, I'll wake up like at 8:30. Have the night ahead.
Have you ever woken up at 8:30?
Take back the night. Never, Greg. Because what always happens, I always snooze everything. And what always happens is I read text messages from you. I read text messages from my family, my brother, my dad. Text messages from everybody. Read them when I'm half asleep. Forget I ever get them in the morning. Mm-hmm. The only text I legitimately remember seeing, like in a dream in a past life, was the photo of saying, like, this place sucks with your name spelled wrong. You bringing up all the other text messages just prompted me to open up my phone and be like, oh, wow, you did text me a lot. Yeah. I thought you were joking about the other shit. I only remember the photo. So my defense, I was napping, okay? Sometimes I take a nap. Sometimes I take a should have gotten the fry.
But like when you take a nap at 10 o'clock at night, do you just continue? Is it just sleeping?
No, well, that night I ended up streaming. Remember, I popped into the Discord.
Oh,
I was
you
like,
did?
You know what? I'm going to go live super late.
I can confirm Andy did. We were playing Warzone late night, and Andy came in and he sounded like rolled death. He was like, hey, what's up, gamers? What are you guys doing today? I was like, me and Mike back to back wins in Warzone. Absolutely fucking crazy. Murdering everyone out there. Shut the game down. We fucking finished it. Okay?
We beat it.
And Andy's like, do you guys want to help me hunt a bear in Icarus? And we were like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. We did think about coming back in after our wins, but then we were like, it can't get any better than
that. Yeah, go out on high.
I fired up the stream like at around midnight, streamed until like 3 a.m.
Is that when you got stuck in with the wolf with Victor?
No, that was a different thing. Okay. I killed like 10 baby bears. But yeah, so that's what happened that night. That's been happening a lot lately. And I go home, I'm just like, what I need to do is just fucking drink a Red Bull. Like, and then
you need to, I don't know that Andy Cortez, what you need to do is drink more energy drinks. I don't know, man.
I need to just
sounds
fucking
like a starting point.
I need to take down an energy drink so I can be like, all right, let's start the night right now instead of let's take an hour nap because it's never an hour nap.
Yeah.
And I know it's never an hour nap, but I still think it can be an hour nap. It never is. It's always me waking up at 10:30, sweaty, fucking disoriented. I'm like, is it 10:30 in the morning? Is it Tuesday? No, it's always still Friday night. So I'm sorry, Greg. I'm sorry you had a bad Whataburger experience.
Honestly, at this point, I think we can just say I'm sorry I had a Whataburger experience.
Yeah.
No,
they're only bad. They're only bad.
Two for two.
Let me tell you real quick.
Preach.
The Whataburger back home in the RGV.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play no games?
They don't play no games. What I'm going to say is I've been pretty underwhelmed with them the last like 5 years. Something happened recently with Whataburgers back home. Sure. I still enjoy the burger. I think they taste good. The fries, always immaculate. I'm saying this right now. I've said this several times. I've been on record with this one. The Whataburger in the Houston airport is the best burger I've ever tasted in my life. I've said it so many times. If you're in the Houston airport, get the Whataburger there.
That's your problem.
And you should have gotten to the, you didn't fly to the Houston airport. You had the
connection. We're doing monthly Twitch goals. If you guys support us all for the month of March, we'll go to the Houston airport to get a Whataburger.
Dude, it is like,
I'm dead
we'll send,
serious.
We'll send Greg
to the Houston airport.
Is he still alive, Mike?
It is the best like tasting patty combined with the bread. Every time I get it, I'm blown away. I'm like, surely this is a one-time thing. I've had it like 4 times there. It's always fucking incredible.
I'm gonna propose this to Mike. So we're saying in February.
February already. We already kind of have something later.
Okay,
so I'm saying March.
Okay.
If we hit all the goals in March, Greg will get on a plane for no reason with Andy.
The one back home.
This is gonna cost $10,000.
Pretty underwhelming.
This is a terrible idea.
I
didn't think about that.
It's a great idea. I love it. But yeah, I understand where Greg's coming from. I've had like some pretty unremarkable Whataburgers, but I'd still rather have those burgers than other burger joints, right? Like I still think it's good at its core, but I can understand. No, he should have gotten the fries.
Are the fries crinkle fries? The crinkly?
No, they're just.
Are they just straight fries?
They're just thin, like fries. They're like McDonald's style fries.
Here's what I'll say now that he's out of the room, Andy. Now that the energy level has come down to a normal human
energy level, right?
Not Greg Miller level.
Mm-hmm.
I've only had Whataburger one time in my life. We were in Scottsdale, remember, for that trip for the meet and greet? And we decided, I think me and you
went.
We had the Uber driver.
Oh, that
was the coolest
guy
on the planet. I was like, hey, man, I'm kind of hungry. And he goes, I'll take you guys through the Whataburger. And I was like, that's so nice of you.
We're like, we'll get you food.
We ordered a bunch of food for everyone. I got the food. They gave it to me in an incredible reusable bag. Shout out to Whataburger for that.
A bunch of food for everyone.
I remember. Except for Kevin. We forgot Kevin's order. Or Kevin wanted taco.
We killed Kevin's buffalo also. That's interesting.
That was sad too. And we get back. I thoroughly enjoyed the Whataburger. Not only that, my wife enjoyed that bag as our laundry bag for years to come. Years to come. Tim, turn that thing off.
All right. So Mike's been informed. I didn't wait to see if the chat cares because I don't care. He says we'll turn into a vlog too, obviously.
Okay.
Do some stuff there.
Great.
We'll vlog it
great.
Out.
And what I really appreciate and feel bad about, honestly, is like we do all this, you know, we're shenanigans makers. You know what I mean?
We are the shenanigans.
Mike is a shenanigan maker too.
He's the king.
But I went in there and I opened the door and Mike goes, oh no, here comes Greg. Somebody in the chat already said I was coming. And then I just started singing the DX theme song. And as I rounded the corner, I saw Barrett's eyes. And I was like, all right, he's doing like a preview of his game. Like, oh, Barrett's trying to do something serious. And I'm here to talk about this fucking Houston airport. Whatever.
What's the term I'm going to use like, 6 months from now? He doesn't want any flowers?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
What's that, Kevin?
How big was the bag that you then used it for your laundry?
Oh, it was a full size reusable bag.
So you guys got a massive order, but forgot to get me anything.
I think it was the Uber driver's fault. Yeah. If I'm being honest, he distracted
me. I remember you guys walking in.
I think you took your meal.
I think you had eaten everything at that point.
We started eating in the car.
Yeah. And you guys were like, "Oh, yeah, they got really good milkshakes. We didn't bring you one. Sorry."
We thought about going to Taco Bell for you, but we didn't do that either.
I would love to do a fry ranking, honestly, because I've often said this, and I'm on record saying this as well.
Gary Gutierrez, Whataburger is in the same class as Shake Shack. They fight for second and third place. Gary, you have no fucking taste. I don't want your Patreon money. I'll refund it all and you go home.
Gary, stay
here. That is a wild statement.
Stay here,
wait,
Gary.
Also... Is Shake Shack that good for like everyone that's sitting there?
I'll say this. I had Shake Shack a couple weeks ago. We stopped at the mall on my way up to my ski trip. My buddy was like, "I'm going to get Shake Shack." And I was like, "I don't want any. I'm good." He got the little chicken nuggets, a couple extra for me.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. They were good.
They got the cheese fries. Shake Shack, back on the map for me. The wood spoon to eat the cheese fries.
So Greg, you weren't here.
Sorry, and I cut you off. I do apologize.
You weren't here.
We're back together.
You weren't here recently when we talked about this. This is the podcast a while, like a couple months ago, maybe.
Yeah.
We had a big discussion about Jack in the Box.
Sure.
Because I made this discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
those are the bomb right there, Kev. Is that Shake Shack fries?
We're in here.
I love the Kringle fries, dude. They're
no,
so
the Kringle
good.
Kringle fries are great, yeah.
So
they're perfectly designed for ketchup.
So my thing about Whataburger fries, I think Whataburger fries, like, amazing. Top tier. Okay. Like, near like, the McDonald's level. Like, it's, like, right there for me. We started talking about Jack in the Box recently. We had a Jack in the Box sponsorship one time. I never get Jack in the Box. Hadn't had Jack in the Box in, I was a teenager maybe. But they sponsored us. I was like, "Oh, there's a Jack in the Box real close to me. Let me order some."
You throw them a few bucks, they threw us a few bucks.
Luckily, super close to us.
Just like I'll be throwing a few bucks to Grammarly later, but I'll tell you about that later.
We'll tell you about that
later.
We'll
get to the other thing.
This is a comedy podcast. So Jack in the Box arrives and I was like, "Oh my God, Jack in the Box is really good." Like I hadn't had it in forever. So it's just become a regular to me. But you always get the curly fries, right? Duh. Why would you get the normal fucking regular potatoes?
Yeah.
Get the curly seasoned fries.
Upgrade.
One time I got a mistake. They fucked up my order. They gave me the regular fries.
Yeah.
God damn it. Didn't get the curlies. The regular fries are top tier,
wow.
God tier.
Wow.
Now I get them over the curly fries now.
That's
dude,
wild.
I'm with you
up until that statement.
You have to try the regular fries. Like we need to have a tier maker for this. Because Jack in the Box always under the radar for me. I'm just like, they're just another fucking chain that I kind of forget about. Once I had these regular fries, every time I get them, they are amazing. They've got such a good taste to them. I think it's the oil, the fatty oils.
Sure.
The fatty oils.
Kevin, what are you doing in there?
About? You got married?
It sounds like he's opening cans of peaches or something. You know what I mean?
Sorry, I had a little metal thing in my hand that I just flicked by accident.
Like jars. Okay, like jars of peaches, yeah.
Here's what's going to happen, though, is we're going to go to the Houston airport.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this will be a quick turn. We fly in, kill an hour, and then fly back out, right?
Sure, yeah.
We got to figure out what terminal Whataburger is in. This could be a disaster. But we fly in. And
it's United.
We're going to order everything because I don't want to deal with this anymore. So I literally will be like, give me one of, not every burger, but like fries, curlies, onion rings,
try
whatever.
Try them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it all out because then you know, right?
Yeah.
Then you
so
know,
like,
know.
Yeah, so people in the chat might be able to recommend the more, like, because Whataburger has a lot of seasonal items. They have a lot of stuff that's like, you can get
this. Are we getting a Shamrock Burger?
You can get this honey butter, honey barbecue chicken sandwich or whatever. It's back. Or like, that's always like a really popular item.
My whole thing is, I'm sorry to cut you off again. I don't want to hear you. I want people to tell us what is the definitive Whataburger burger. Like, what are you all hanging the hat
on? It has
like,
to be the standard. If it's not the standard, in my opinion, it doesn't count.
Like you get the one every day.
Thing.
Yeah, that's
not a seasonal. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
it can't be a seasonal.
But I mean, is it? No, it's the cheeseburger. It's the bigger cheeseburger. It's
that's,
double cheeseburger.
That's why
like,
I'm
get
always
the Big Mac. You have to be able to get the Big Mac, and that's the.
That's why I'm always terrible at giving people recommendations. Because whenever people like, "Oh, dude, I'm here. What should I get?" It's like I always just get a number one. I get just pickles
that's
and lettuce.
Recommendation though.
Super toasted. The ones back home, they're like never. The ones back home, I feel like they're less unhealthy because the ones in the Houston airport always like pretty like greasy looking, but
yeah,
they're super,
moist.
The buns are always like super toasted. And the ones back home are, it just seems like a little bit like more dry.
Okay.
And like, I want the top to look like it's been on a fucking frying pan. You know, like
the top to have as much grease, like half as much grease, yes, as the top half of the patty.
If I grab the top of your burger, seep in, and it doesn't like break a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to know
where the bun stops and the meat, exactly, starts. Exactly. That's what, Nick, I want.
I don't like just pushing into the bun and it just be all bread. I want to see a little bit of surface tension, yeah, breakage.
You ever squeeze a bun? Like a squeeze a...
You ever see a lake during winter? You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly. You crack it a little bit and the water comes through.
I
want
to see some, yeah, sure, breakage there. Like that's my ideal bun. Super buttery and toasty. Oh my God.
I'll tell you what, that's everything except for McDonald's. When I get those cheeseburgers from McDonald's, I want them to suck all the moisture out of my mouth. I want the only moisture in that fucking thing to be that little dollop of ketchup they put. It's all whatever water I could just suck out of the onions, yeah, that are in there.
Suddenly you're like 10% water.
Were you there when Mike ordered extra pickles on his cheeseburgers and they just fucking threw like handfuls of pickles? He was like, why are there so many pickles now?
That's the dream.
God, it's so good.
People don't go hard enough with extra pickles around me.
No, you say extra pickles, they give you one more pickle.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
If I go out of my way to say extra pickles, you better give me another bag full of pickles. Drown me in pickles.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other day, Jen asked for extra olives in her martini, and the guy then countered with, well, how many olives are extra?
Why do you need to know that answer? Use your discretion, sir.
Yeah, and she misunderstood, so she said, like, you know, one or two or whatever, and then the guy just gave her two olives, and I was like, oh, man, there was a miscommunication there in terms of he wanted the number you wanted total. You thought it was just how many to add to your normal amount, which, again, the phrasing of the question was weird, because just fuck me up with olives. Is it that hard?
Yeah, fuck me up with olives.
Put two toothpicks with
olives. I have seen your wife literally say, fuck me up with
everything
to the waiters or waitresses. They'll just be like,
I want to be out of whack for a
okay month. They have to figure out what that means.
Yeah. My brother blew my mind the other day. We took my parents out for Christmas dinner when I was down there to a steakhouse, and he was like, I'd like martini dry. He doesn't like it dirty. Okay. Whatever the opposite of dirty is. Like, yeah. Not dirty. He goes, but do you have clean the blue cheese olives?
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, oh, yes, sir, we have the blue cheese olives. Like, I would like four of those there, and then bring me a little plate of them. And they fucking brought him like a bowl of blue cheese olives stuffed with blue cheese. In the martini.
They're good. Incredible. You wouldn't think they're good. It's good.
No, they're so fucking good.
Andy, it's good.
And Trader Joe's sells them.
Blue cheese in a fucking martini.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. You don't know.
I don't want like a jalapeno popper in my fucking martini. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on there?
It's a thing.
Cody Hagler says, I mean, the spicy ketchup is worth Whataburger alone. I dunked a French fry in the spicy ketchup. There was no spice to this.
You say you didn't get fries. You say you got onion rings.
I dunked an onion ring in the spicy ketchup.
Oh, you said fry.
Did I?
Yeah.
I apologize.
So last night, I have something I want to get off my chest.
Is this your 3 minute?
This story? Is my, yeah.
Before you do that, let me remind everybody, of course, this is the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week for sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you want to bullshit with us, you can write in for free at kindoffunny.com/KF podcast. Of course, that gets your questions put in here and you can have a fun time with us and have real fun. But if you want to have the most fun, you could be here getting yelled at us while we record the show, just like that motherfucker Gary was. You can do that on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of the show ad free. You can watch us record it live, and you can get dozens and dozens of episodes that are bonus exclusive content all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks to toss us, no big deal. You, of course, can get this show on youtube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the globe. You have to listen to the ads. You can't be live. I'll never yell at you. It won't be the same, you know? It won't be good. I want to give you some housekeeping. If you didn't know, there's a show called The Last of Us on HBO.
It's true.
We are enjoying it. We are one-third through it. We've reviewed the first three episodes.
Pretty amazing.
You can catch those screencast reviews and updates, of course, on youtube.com/kindoffunny and the Kind of Funny Screencast podcast feed. I want to thank our Patreon producers, Jay Kolbs, Nathan Lamoth, Monica Boomenlog. I got it that time, right?
Mm-hmm. Boomenlog.
DJ Kento on Twitch, Trent Berry, James Hastings, Colin Huguenel, and Casey Andrew. As I already said, today we're brought to you by Grammarly. And hey, you know what? If you're on Patreon, you don't get any ads, but you're not on Patreon. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Grammarly for sponsoring this episode. From essays to emails, Grammarly's communication assistants can help you write with confidence. Grammarly is a must-have for every student. Best of all, it's free to download and works on all your favorite devices and apps. A ton of us here at Kind of Funny have been using Grammarly for years, and Joey specifically is a huge fan. She says, and I quote, Grammarly is used with everything. Emails, tweets, even writing our weekly schedule. Sometimes my brain works faster than my fingers, and it's nice to have a second set of eyes. The free versions of Grammarly offers comprehensive writing suggestions, a tone detector, and a synonym feature, all to help you proofread your work as you write, so you can be sure it's mistake-free and polished before submitting. Grammarly Premium comes with advanced features like clarity full sentence rewrites, which flag and rephrase hard-to-read sentences. Premium even comes with plagiarism detection. From essays and projects to emails and presentations, improve your grades this semester with Grammarly. You can sign up for an account today at grammarly.com/kindoffunny and get 20% off when you're ready to upgrade to Grammarly Premium. That's grammarly.com/kindoffunny. grammarly.com/kindoffunny.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Tim, what's your 3-minute story?
Yesterday, me and G went out to a sketch fest thing. SF has this annual comedy festival.
It never.
Yeah, it's like
3 weeks.
Long.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Long. Oh.
Yeah. So ton of different events and stuff. There's some podcasters G likes, and every year we go see them when they do their live
murders
show.
With.
No, murders? That's my favorite murder.
Did you go see Guys We Fucked one time?
And we've seen Guys We Fucked. Yeah. This was Will You Accept This Rose, mm-hmm. which is a Bachelor podcast. With Arden Marie is the main person, but Doug Benson. You know Doug Benson?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Doug Hi, Doug
He's on it, so he was there. He was fucking hilarious. Anyways, before that, we're like, let's turn this into a little date night. It's going to be fun, whatever. So it's out at the Embarcadero in San Francisco. Beautiful area that we're rarely at. So it's like, let's go somewhere that we haven't been. And G had been recommended this like semi steakhouse called Hill Spot.
What makes it semi?
It's a steakhouse, but it's like
they'll give you if you order a steak, it comes half steak, and then it's the tail of a fish.
It's like, I would say it felt like
the perfect blend.
Like if you said, "Oh, this is the nicest sports bar ever," I'd be like, "Okay, I get it."
Okay,
like, it's
more sports
feel,
bar than steakhouse.
Then like yeah, exactly,
but then I bring out the white dinner.
Nick, cookies. It's like the spot with the cookies, milk and cookies.
That
it's like the spot. Good. All right, keep going.
Milk and cookies.
There's a spot that we with the gotcha. Milk and cookies we got.
Yeah, Mike's obsessed with it because it was for the longest time. It's the only thing he knew in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. We always wanted to go back there. I was like, there's other places.
There are other spots.
It's pretty good. The milk
so,
cookies are good.
So we walk into this place and like I'm excited that I, like it, let me put it this way. It's a steak spot to the extent that I didn't order steak. Okay. You know what I mean?
What'd you get?
I ended up getting this one of the prime dip. What's it called?
Oh, French dip.
French dip. Yeah.
Mashed so it's potatoes?
Like, I'm not going to get a French dip if it's
steak. French fries.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This place was a French dip place. Sure.
I bet you. $5.
French fries?
I got fries.
You mean $5? You mean my $5?
I fucking dipped those things in so much horseradish.
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah, fucking did it.
I'd give you a high five right now.
So we walk in, all right? Me and G.
Was it better than Cole's?
No, it was not. It was not.
Making sure.
The namesake of Greg's dog. Mm-hmm. Ajou. Prime dip place. Mm. Is that how you say it? Ajou?
Ajou.
I don't fucking know what I'm talking about. Walk into this place, all right? And it's cold. San Francisco's been really, really cold.
Yeah,
cold. I don't know if you guys have noticed this.
It's don't give us any shit about where you're from. Don't be like, we're from the fucking Himalayas and it's cold out here. No, it's 48 degrees out here. We don't have the kind of coats for this shit.
It's fucking cold, all right? But me and G going to this thing. We dressed up a little bit, like nice. Nothing
Balling
crazy.
Out?
But
bow tie?
We're both wearing beanies. Because it's fucking cold in San Francisco. But y'all know me. I'm color coordinated all the time. Like, I'm always presentable at the...
Should we go around the table and try to guess what color your beanie was? Was it blue?
It was blue.
Yeah,
it
okay.
was blue. Yeah. But I looked great. I looked fucking great. G looked fucking great.
My fucking money.
It was a great looks all around. Presentable is the key word here.
Presentable, right? Everybody.
Now, y'all have seen me. When I'm not presentable, when y'all come over and we're watching the Royal Rumble, sure, I'm going to wear my PJs.
Tim's always presentable from the waist up. It's the waist down that's the wild card. What's going to be wearing down there?
But my hair. If I don't do my hair,
if your hair is
it's a disaster. Blue.
When you come out, you look like Justin Timberlake from that movie that I hate.
yeah, that's exactly. It. There's some puff going on, some fluff. It's a whole fucking thing. But, you know, that's reserved for my closest friends. The world doesn't normally see that.
Yeah.
So I'm outside. We walk in. It's great. I'm excited. I'm like really hungry. There's big penguins. I love penguins. This is cool as shit.
Cool.
And we walk in, and the place is like They just had, I guess their mascot's a penguin. I don't fucking know. There's like statues of penguins.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're really big Pittsburgh penguins.
So I was gonna, like, I understand that some places, some nice places have aquariums.
Yeah, no,
I was
like, no. Sorry. It's just,
like, not real penguins. They've got a penguin
cage. Not real penguins. Not real
penguins.
You got
penguin. A penguin grotto.
I went to a penguin thing? Cafe in Japan that one time. You got to pet a penguin.
Did you eat one?
Really?
Pet
no.
A penguin.
No.
Would you eat a penguin then?
No, I mean, I don't even know. Are they protected?
Very big chicken wing, probably.
Are they protected?
Like, I'm not getting baited into a situation. Here, but if that's just the culture,
yeah, for sure.
So
there's a few things I wouldn't eat if it's on the menu. But that's what we're doing.
On the menu.
I mean, I do a quick Google of like, this is bad, but right, if it's right, like, right. No, this is fine. We just
all that Greg says is that, like he won't eat beans. In you know this, what I mean? Yeah. But hey, if it's on the menu,
if it's an endangered bean,
gotta try
eat
anything
it.
Once, man.
Yeah,
yeah. So we get in there, and like the place, it's, I would say, is 1/3 full. So it's like there's people there. It's not empty, but it's not that bad. So we go, we sit. They seat us in a corner that's kind of far away from others, but like I don't really care, and I'm excited for this food. And I sit down. We order some drinks, and like 5 minutes in, the host comes back up to me and goes, "Excuse me, I'm sorry to do this.
You gotta ask your take your beanies off.
The gentleman here needs to dine without caps."
Oh.
And I was sitting there, and like, I'm not trying to cause a scene. I literally was like, oh, sorry, okay. Like, this is your fault then, like joking with her. Took my hat off with my hair, and I was like all right. Like, and she's like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, like, I'd prefer
that. Oh my
that.
God, 100 pence, we would have gotten you a better table.
And I was like, this is a little bit weird. And I'm sitting there, and it's one of those things, whatever. Their place, their rules. I'm not trying to start shit.
Good.
But I couldn't help but be very upset. Like, it kind of like ruined the meal for me.
Wow.
Just because, like, if
I'd be kind of pissed off.
If I first walk in and, like, they ask me immediately, cool, that's fine. But to come up to me as if there was conversations happening, it put me in a weird defensive place.
What's
like,
the average? If you don't mind ask this question, don't. What is the average spend at this place?
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's,
what's
it,
the
it was like,
look it up.
Hill Spot.
Are we talking like $50 a person, $25 a person, $100 a person?
With drinks and stuff, I think my entire bill, I think it was like $100.
Okay. Yeah. That is not a place where it is acceptable for a maitre d' or a hostess to walk up to you and tell you fucking anything.
Now, what if they were like...
Zero.
What if they were like...
I could be fucking eating off the fucking floor and they were like, whatever.
What if they're like, do you have a different hat?
Like, if I'm at Alexander Steakhouse and I walk in with a hat and the guy goes... We're trying to keep a certain air here of like, we're selling Wagyu beef for $1,000 a plate. I'd be like, I understand it. It makes people uncomfortable when I dress hip hop. I'm going to come in, I'll clean it up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to do the New York street style right now. I'll come in, I'll respect your rules. But if you're selling au jus sandwiches for $15 and there's a fucking Hardee's next door that's like more expensive, GTFO. Get the
so
fuck
it's
out.
It's not quite what that. Go for it.
I was going to say, it's also crazy that like you were let in. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
They should have told you the door.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want it clear. I'm not complaining that I had to, like, take my hat off. I'm complaining about the way that it went down, of it just truly ruined my experience. And so I'm trying to get out of my head. I'm trying to have a good time with G. And at this point,
no.
Me and G, we're just having fun with it. We know that it is what it is, whatever. But the more the night went on, the more I started to internally fume about this.
Yeah.
I'm just simmering with it, where I'm just like...
I would have left them no tip, and I would have been like... Next time, tell me at the fucking door.
I was like, this is fucking weird. But then here's where it starts like getting a little bit more like pushing it down the line for me. All right.
The hostess comes back over and says, sir, you have to take off your pants.
That's what I started realizing. I was like, whoa.
This doesn't work here.
It's popping out.
This woman came up to me, asked me to take my hat off. I made this whole thing about the gentleman. I'm sitting next to G, who was wearing like the same beanie as me.
Yeah.
And she gets to wear it. So I'm like, this rubs me the wrong way too. Right.
If there's a no hat that. Policy, there should be a no
it
hat
policy.
There
should be
policy,
a no fucking
right?
hat policy.
Wait. If you got a tie policy, there should be a tie policy. Everyone's got one.
They only made you
a
gentleman.
Oh, fuck.
They only made me.
I totally missed
that. They only made me. So I'm sitting here getting upset about this. Then I see G, and I look over, and the 49ers are playing the football
first
stuff
off,
yesterday.
Stop. They're showing a fucking 49ers
they're playing
game.
49ers.
They're showing a fucking 49ers game and they want you to take your beanie off. I would have told that person to go fuck themselves. I would have been like, go into the bathroom right now and go fuck yourself because there's a fucking football game
dude,
on right now.
Dude, okay.
If someone's wearing a fucking jersey in this bar, I can wear a beanie.
That guy's eating fucking wings. He got flappers only.
There's a football game on. There is no less than 3 people in fucking 49ers jerseys.
If someone's doing a fireball shot over there,
so
I'm wearing
a fucking
beanie.
And I when I notice the jerseys, I'm like, oh no. I start getting real mad. And she just starts laughing at me. She's just like, oh my God. She's like, Tim, technically that might look like it's the bar area, so maybe the bar has different rules. And I was like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll buy that, I guess. I was like, but you're wearing your hat. Like, this is so upsetting to me. And then eventually I had to go to the bathroom. Guess what the fuck I saw going to the bathroom?
Guys wearing hats.
In the restaurant spot, people in jerseys with hats on.
Yeah. I would have asked. I would have been like, how come you told me to? I would have said, give me your manager first off. I would have pulled the manager card. And I'd be like, somebody came over and said, asked me to take my hat off. Why are they allowed to wear hats?
It was just fucking.
And then I would have been like, you know what I would have fucking buy me everything in this bar now.
Here's what I would have done, Tim. I would have put it back on in hopes that I am poking the bear. Yeah, in hopes that someone comes back and they're like, oh, we asked you. And I would just look around and be like, take a look around, dog. The Niners are getting their fucking shit kicked in by the Eagles right now.
Right.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares, dude.
It was just like, it ruined my experience.
I would have left.
It sucks.
I would have been like,
thing.
Absolutely not.
And how new is this restaurant? I can't find it online. Hill Spot?
Hill Spot, yeah. Or so I'm sitting there.
We're boycotting Hill Spot or boycotting 80 for Brady.
No, you got to.
And what burger is boycotted until we give it another shot in March?
You gotta type in Hill Stop.
Hillstone.
Hillstone.
That's a
GameStop.
So Hillstone, they do have a dining guidelines and attire standards thing on their website that I did look up while I was sitting there fuming. Attire standards. Guest attire can elevate or diminish the experience of others.
I agree.
We consider hats, tank tops, flip-flops, and team athletic attire too casual for our restaurant.
I know exactly where that is. Yeah, on Becadero.
Our staff takes pride in their appearance, and we ask our guests to respect our attire guidelines.
Yeah, they
cool. Fitted. Their rules are there. I'll respect your fucking rules if you're goddamn consistent. Jerseys, sports attire, motherfuckers left and right. Doesn't say anything about gentlemen need to remove their caps. Like,
that's really stupid.
And I'm sitting there, I'm mad. I'm like, I'm going to fucking tip these people. I'm not like, I'm not going to be an asshole.
I would still tip the server because that's the server's fault that the management decided.
What are they like? No, sir. We actually asked them to change their jerseys. They were wearing Garoppolo jerseys.
Wasn't the server the one that asked you to take your hat?
No, the host.
The host.
Oh, I see.
Even if,
look at that. I mean, this place looks fucking good. I'm not going to lie.
I'm making a reservation. I'm taking Jen. That one right there.
Look, I understand. Look, if you have a dress code, I totally understand that. I totally understand it. Like, I don't mind that. I don't mind people kind of having to elevate a little bit every once in a while because I think a lot of people dress down too much these days. I went to a ballet the other day. I took Danielle for her birthday, and I felt underdressed, and I was like, that's kind of nice, actually. You should dress up for occasions here and there. But, like, you got to have the standard across the board. If I walk in and I see jerseys at a steakhouse, that's the day you kind of let it go. Yeah. You let it go. 49ers play out with championship, not championship.
It was NFC championship.
NFC championship game. Yeah. You got to let it float out a little bit.
I'd like to imagine that once the Niners fans kind of started walking in, that it kind of became maybe out of hand at that point of like, oh, we're not going to ask all these people to enough.
We're scared of these guys. They look like they can beat us up.
But they weren't.
Tim's not throwing hands.
They weren't Niner fans.
We'll push this guy.
I mean, they were, but they weren't like, they just happened to be wearing a jersey. Like, they weren't being rowdy. They weren't cheering or booing or anything.
Sure. Yeah.
They were just fucking, and they weren't even a group. They were all, every group had one Niners person. You get what I'm saying?
Got it. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it was just so, all of it was weird to me. But yeah, I was like, I'm not trying to start shit here. I'm just like, I'm just bothered by this experience. But
does this place have, what's it called when people park for you?
Valet? No. It might. I didn't see it.
I feel like if a place has valet, then you know there's going to be a dress code. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, you're wrong.
Wrong? Okay.
Yeah. Because, like, for sure, the prime rib house doesn't have a dress code.
The house of prime rib?
The house of prime rib, thanks.
I mean, it might.
That's a fine. It doesn't. I mean, like, I've gone in there.
Kevin's gone in shorts.
I went there, and I granted, I was with Eric Castor, and he's Eric Castor. He knows everybody. He rolled the luggage in there because going to the airport or coming from there.
I'm sure Alexander's has a dress code of some sort.
No, because we went there right after visiting Ubisoft that one time, and we had a bunch of camera equipment and
you can probably bring stuff in, but I'm saying if you were wearing like a hat, they might ask you to take it off. Maybe.
I mean, I'm fairly certain when we went there, I was in my beanie phase.
Alexander's?
It's a really nice, probably one of the best steakhouses in San Francisco.
But like we were all in like normal like t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone else was in like better attire than us, but
yeah. But no one said anything to us, and I feel like a fine dining establishment, those kind of rules are kind of out the door now. Like, I don't know. I've been to
especially in SF. Yeah.
That's my biggest thing is like, my takeaway of all this is it's 2020 fucking three. Let people be people. I understand that you might want rules and stuff. This is a stupid ass rule, especially if there's going to be inconsistency. If you're going to gender it in any way, just don't be gendering things. It's just all of it rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't fucking like it. I will not be returning to this place. And if I do, I'm going to wear two hats.
Are you gonna
at the end of it, the lady asked me, she was like, oh, how was it? I was like, the food was really good. My head was a little cold, but otherwise.
why didn't you actually bring it up? That was your chance.
Because it was the server. I wasn't trying to like.
I would talk to the server about it 100%.
Me and Nick would own it right now. Nick would own this place.
But even then, like, I could tell the host didn't want to do it. You know?
Yeah. You don't talk to the server. You talk to the person who's responsible for it. There's the owner was probably there and or whoever the GM is there. And you'd be like, there's a little bit of a, you know, kind of ruined my experience a little bit when you told me that at the table.
Yeah.
Like, if I walked in and you said, hey, hello, would you mind both please taking your beanies off? We're trying to have, you know, we have a dress code here a little bit. We don't like people to wear. Yeah. I'd have been like, I respect that. Your house, not a big deal.
Totally.
Don't wait till I get to the table. I'm all cozy and I'm hungry.
I just kept looking at Gigi, and she just looked so warm.
Gigi just keeps pulling it down farther and farther until she's just rubbing it in your face.
In front of the server, in front of this host.
She turns into a ski mask. She fucking robbed it. Anyway.
In front of the host, I would have been like, all right, I'll take off my beanie. Gia, get your beanie off too. Just to see if the host would have been like, no, she doesn't have to take hers off.
She's good.
Then I would have been wait, what? Like, that's wild.
Oh, so you're an anti-man.
but here's the thing. Like, I don't mind a restaurant like that that has standards. Because to me, when I walk in, part of me is like, fuck you. And the other part of me is like, well, that means if someone's misbehaving or causing a stir or something that's annoying me, that they're going to take care of that. It kind of makes me feel like, okay, we're all sort of entering into the social contract
as
we walk
in.
but I like that about the Alamo Draft House, right? Like, you walk in and they say, if anyone's saying anything, like, raise a card, and we'll kick this fucker out. I like that. You're paying for an experience. That's cool. But I just can't imagine that anyone's like, I would love this steak if it wasn't for that guy's fucking blue beanie in my peripherals right now.
I'd expect if I went to any restaurant that there was like, somebody, you know,
we're having Fridays where people are starting to fucking fire in the corner. You go to Chili's, it's no man's land in there.
Did you do any appetizers?
Greg's putting in an order right now.
Oh, I already booked the reservation. This place looks dope as hell. I don't wear hats.
Yeah, we got the jumbo cocktail shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the best of that I've ever had in my life. It was way, 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 way overpriced.
$26, yeah.
I think it was 22.
Oh,
I think they had like some type of deal or something. But still, 22.
What the fuck would I know?
And then fucking four.
He didn't know the name of the restaurant, but I'm looking at the menu. I'm wrong.
Four shrimp show up. $22.
That's a bad
bet. $22 for four shrimp.
Rosemary focaccia sounds good. Spinach and artichoke dip, I'm always down for.
Oh, I love spinach and artichoke dip. We should go to this place today. I did my hair today, so we can go.
They don't say anything. Nick's wearing a big ass gallon hat.
I wonder where the Pharrell hat.
That's the funniest thing.
Where the Pharrell hat?
At the end of it, of the whole experience, it's like joke was on them because I look like a fucking idiot with my fluffy hair out there. Like you're telling me that like, oh, this is for the appearance of the place. Fuck you guys.
Right. Right.
Okay.
I'm looking. I got a lot of good.
Greg's excited.
Greg, how was Royal Rumble?
I mean, I talked about the Whataburger experience.
So that was the highlight.
Royal Rumble was awesome. It was incredible.
What was that like for you though? Because this is a big deal.
Do we have to go to ads first?
What are you doing?
No, we already
did. Already.
Great.
Kevin, I'm here. I just retweeted is for a WWE Network of JBL pieing me. I'm sorry. What was the question now exactly?
Oh, just what was the experience like? I mean,
it was incredible. I mean, it was awesome. You know, it was very interesting. Obviously, this is my second pay-per-view going and working for WWE, right? The first one was SummerSlam when we all went.
You hosted that the back room sort of like.
Yeah, the first one was when you brought up this beer sucks, and they're like, well, we're sponsored by them.
No, oh, no, no, that was like, wait, that's Mania forever ago.
Oh, okay, I was thinking.
So to context, I'm saying this is the second pay-per-view since This Is Awesome's been a thing.
Got it.
So I've had it since I've had a show or whatever. And so since...
Man, good thing you wear glasses.
I know, right? Yeah.
That could have caused permanent eye damage, too.
I'd be in a lot of pain.
Then we'd have to
sue JBL. And that's, of course, a man. That's JBL, all right?
Yeah.
That's the wrestling
I can't believe how tall he is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, seeing you two together, like, I've never seen anybody tower.
He makes you look like me.
We're jumping around for a million different things, but, like, you want to see someone tower over me? I did. I was there. My job there was I was hosting the WWE 2K23 roster ratings reveal. So they brought in the superstars. I would tell them their number. Most of the time, they were pretty pissed off they weren't 100, and we would banter about it or whatever.
Yeah.
Omos came out. And this, like, I mean, I'm literally doing this. Like, this man is the largest individual I've ever been around.
Right?
I think so. Yeah.
7'8".
Obviously, the nicest human being in the world.
What the fuck?
When you're in that person's presence, do you think if this guy wanted to pummel me, he could just pummel me? You ever think about that?
I know, because it was just like, he was so... I mean, it was just... First off, most of the people I interview could pummel me. You understand that.
Fair enough.
But this man, like, again, it was just like, I mean, like, this is what it's like to be Jen. Like, yeah. It was like I had to you know, crane my neck and raise my hand all the way up to interview this guy.
We understand.
You do understand.
Kings understand.
Anyways, so this is the second thing I've done officially. There he is. Look at how big this man is.
Holy shit.
And AJ Styles is a little bit shorter than me if memory serves. But like,
I'm pretty sure AJ is 6'1".
Yeah, so there you go. And I'm 6'3". So it's like, that's how big this individual is.
Solid 2 feet.
And again, super.
7'3". He's 7'3".
Almost.
Super, super
wild.
Anyways,
like
though.
7'8" is like, that's crazy. Like, because Yao Ming was 7'5".
Damn.
Damn, that's big.
It's massive, bro.
And that's it was awesome to explain that. You know, I was out in the crowd for the Rumble with Ashley, my friend from college, and her two young boys, 9 and 6. And so, like, when they're watching everybody come down, and when Omos came out, I was like, look at, like, you can see him walk down the ramp. Everybody else is hidden because it was like a floor level ramp. And then he gets in there and he's so high above the ropes, even.
Incredible. Incredible.
It was insane. Anyways, it was awesome. And again, it was like I'm trying to drive at, but I keep getting thrown off. It was the second thing I've done for them since I've been a contractor or whatever, or had a WWE show, right? Been a WWE superstar.
The last thing you did was right when you got listed on the roster, right? The
official website. SummerSlam is the last thing I did when me and Tim went to Nashville. And that was... Because
that's when I started believing in you. Before that, I was like, no, this guy, he doesn't have the
stuff. He's going to flare out. Don't worry about it. He doesn't have the stuff.
If anybody knows who has the stuff to be a WWE superstar, it's Nick Scarpino.
Me. Because he's followed it for all of 1 week.
And so, if you remember, This Is Awesome debuted the day before. So, it was like Friday, day, and then it was Saturday was the pay-per-view.
And it was fucking awesome, by the way. I watched This Is Awesome episode 1 of season 2. Oh. You all should on Peacock.
Yeah.
Shot it here.
Yeah.
And it made the studio look fucking dope.
Even cool. Yeah. We use the video floor. We do everything.
It's so funny that we do so many shows here. And like, I often am watching our content on my TV, like just Chromecasting it. And it's like, oh, it's cool. But for some reason, this is TV. So it felt different. But I'm like, it's the exact same thing. But it's just cool.
It was awesome.
TV, baby.
And so the one change was that, you know, for the first episode of season 1, This Is Austin, posting the Friday before SummerSlam meant that most people at SummerSlam did not see it.
Right.
And if you knew me, you only knew me as Greg from Kinda Funny.
Yeah.
Which was cool. And then backstage, obviously, my eyes were as big as saucers at SummerSlam because I'd never been back there. I'm hanging out. And it was like I was booked for the pre-show and then one other thing. I forget. Oh, I did the bump. So, like, I had a grand total of 15 minutes of work at SummerSlam to do, and the rest was fucking around backstage with Tim and me and him. Be like, oh my god, look at that! And then getting a tour and getting this, getting introduced to that, whatever. And so, Rumble, like, I got in on a red eye, went to bed pretty much immediately in San Antonio. Woke up the next day and went to get coffee, and the first three WWE fans I passed in shirts were like, "This is awesome." Like, they knew me from the show. That's they incredible. Didn't know me from Kinda Funny. And I was like, that's fucking awesome. So weird. No pun intended. And so then you jump to Saturday, and I got picked up in one of the – my producer for the shoot drove me over in their car or whatever, and we got backstage. And I got picked up at 11, and I wasn't wrapped until 11. So it was a 12-hour work day, and it was
– Oh, they put your ass to work.
And you know me better than most. Like, that's what I want. Like, yeah. I want to work. I want to do stuff. I want to make cool content.
Yeah.
And so, like, I must have...
We're the same like that.
I have it on the phone. It was something like I interviewed 35 or 40 superstars for their roster review.
That's so fucking
and it was
incredible.
Like, I'm not going to even go into names because there's so many different ones that haven't been announced yet, and I don't want to fuck anything up. But it was the idea of, like, it was from the top of the roster all the way down. Like, Cody Rhodes is confirmed for the show. I got to talk to Cody. And so, like, that was really, really cool, right? And, obviously I'm hanging out with Xavier back there and doing stuff because, like, the Cody video Xavier filmed a Cody video of him revealing the entrance, and that just went live on Up, Up, Down, Down today. But that was actually the last thing shot in the space. But anyways, it was me backstage in my little vest and bow tie talking to people, but obviously the thing is that it's the Royal Rumble, so there's like a million things going back there. Everybody's pulling in a million different directions. And so it wasn't like, cool, at 1 o'clock you have this person. It was like, we've requested all these people and we'll see what happens. And so,
they're on standby.
Was the thing. I was anchored to that room because they would be like, all right, cool. They just finished this thing. They're bringing all these people in. We'd get them and knock them out. Or like, and then it was like, oh, this guy we thought we'd meet in the afternoon, we're getting now. So let's do that right away and blah, blah, blah. And so it was like, Full go. And so then for the JBL thing is something that I've been building up on Twitter, right? Where that starts from post-SummerSlam, if you remember, where after SummerSlam, at SummerSlam, I met Dwight Howard, announced that I was going to be his manager. Then JBL, the next bump went on, WWE bump show went on, and they asked him about it. He said he'd love to manage him. And so I just started a rivalry with JBL on Twitter that to JBL's credit, he thought was funny and has engaged with me and continued to drive it up, you know what I mean? Like, where all of a sudden he'll just take a shot at me for no reason. I'm like, awesome. He gets it. That's great. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Fit right in.
Exactly. Well, that was, you know, that's been the funny thing is, like, you know, every so often I give Jen these updates about, oh, yeah, and JBL said this about me today. And then I said this. And then Corbin got involved and da-da-da-da-da. And she, I was doing one of these. She just goes, I'm glad you found your people.
Yeah.
She's seen more than anybody me be like, I'm going to be a heel wrestler in the FCF. And it's like, nobody responds well to it. I'm like, God damn, you know what I mean? Like, have some fucking fun. And like, here we are. These people obviously are the
people.
I want
to make fun of you in the city you came from.
Yeah, exactly. And so anyways, though, we did, you know, this full day of shoots. And then, like, you know, the Rumble starts at 7. And, you know, JBL showed up earlier than we thought he would. So that we had this other thing. So it was that I changed into my street clothes, that I, my backup street clothes. They had this thing where if you had bought, you know, whatever seats or whatever, like, you're these high roll, you bought, the people had like exclusive packages for it. Mm-hmm. So like, they brought in like a live audience to watch us walk through how the bit would go and then actually do the bit. We did the bit, I covered in pie, I took photos of these people. Then, and it was also awesome to see WWE work in this way, right? Because even at SummerSlam, it was the bump and it was the pre-show. So we saw it from that perspective. This was like ridiculous, and you guys would have loved it from production, where it was that we came in, you know, JBL was there. They eventually come in with the huge like wagon of monitors and sound equipment and stuff. We did one blocking shoot, brought in the audience, had them sit there, explained what was going on. They had to be quiet. Great. We did one more blocking shoot. Then we did the bit. Then they asked for the entire room to be quiet. They turned on the speaker that was on the cart. They watched it. They listened to our, and they, like, it starts, and they were like, all right, 3 seconds in is where it starts. We want it to start. That we went through the entire thing to make sure it was good. And they were like, all right, out at 9 or whatever, the, you know, whatever time code it was. Fucking and then They transferred it to whatever, handed it to a person. That person ran it to production. And we shot that, I think, at like 6:05, and it was live at like 6:10.
That's fucking
bonkers. Like, it was like that insane of like
that's a switch. That's around the kind of shit that like, I, that gives me anxiety.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, right? I'm like,
but it was that thing where I'd like, trip on the way and I would fall in a fucking vent.
They ran real. You're like, where'd you get the film reel from?
They ran it. We took photos, you know, and he filmed one little thing with a JBL. And then I switched into my outfit, back to my normal outfit, got the pie off my face. And I turned my phone over and I already had tweets from people. I'm like, oh my God, like freaking out about
incredible.
It. Texts.
You incredible. Getting pied, Greg, like, I shouldn't be as impressed with your performance as I am, but I legitimately am. Like, there was something of like, I've known you a long time. I know how you act. I know how
we've seen your ass.
Just the two. I've seen your improv. I've seen you do a lot of things, but like you were on there and you were playing a character that is usually not your character. You know what I mean? Like, you're
more straight man. Yeah.
More straight man, like kind of innocent. I don't really know what's going on vibe where like JBL was like clearly like in charge of it. And it was just funny seeing you in this different role. And then you just took the pie so perfectly to the face that I don't even know exactly what happened. Was there like some type of cherry or something on the inside?
No. It was just a pie crust whipped cream.
I saw that too.
But like, it's the Revenge of the Nerds pie.
Oh, what happened is I licked, so you see the exposed.
It looked like there was like red cream. I know what you're talking about.
Kevin, can you bring up what you brought up earlier, the WWE tweet of him? Like, he, oh, damn it, it cuts off right before.
Yeah.
But it's like, it was just, I guess it was just your lip, but it was so perfectly pink, surrounded by the cream.
Nick just winked at Greg, and then he looked at me as if he's disappointed at me for him winking.
There's just something about the fucking pink and the cream that, like, just, I was like, this is a professional.
I love it when you say it like that.
Oh, man, it's huge. That's so fun, man.
Well, I got more, too, but hold on. I want to send something to Kev real quick. Kevin, assets is the best place to go still?
Yep.
Thank you. Hold on.
So, wait, did you get to see the Rumble or not?
So, we ran right up to it with the JBL stuff. Then, and I'm not going to, I don't forget what who's confirmed for whatever, but then they brought in two more groups that I did their ratings reveal with. And then it was like, okay, we're going to stop here. Cody can't make it work with his schedule. So when that's done, when the Royal Rumble's done, I did not know he was going to win, but they were like, he's in the Rumble. So when the Rumble's
done. Only in front of Patreon people. You can spoil whatever.
No, for real. I did not know he was going to win the Rumble at all.
In terms of the roster reveal.
Oh, sure. I'm sure. Thanks. Yeah, that's what I need.
Don't worry about
it. Anyway, they're like, we'll do it. We'll do it with him after the Rumble when he's wrapped for the day. I was like, okay, no big deal. And like, that means you'll probably have to miss a match. I'm like, I don't care. No big deal. So I went from there, walked from backstage out to the floor, met up with Ashley and her two boys. They were having, like, you know, they were so into it. I was so happy to make it or be there with them, because again, like, it's such a great showcase of what's going to happen for Ben, hopefully, if he likes wrestling, which I'm not going to force. But even if it's taking him to a Giants game or a basketball game.
I need you to be fucking Stone Cold stunnering him at age three.
Right? Well, that's going to happen regardless. He already likes getting roughed out, so I love it. But anyways, it was like, you know, to see a six-year-old and a nine-year-old's perspective, it was so great. And it was the Rumble, so this is the deal with the 30 superstars coming to the ring, right? It went on for like an hour and 19. It was a hefty match on its own. And it was like, you know, it was adorable because, like, you know, they're kids and we're on the floor. We had great seats. Thank you, WWE. So it was like they couldn't see. So, like, the nine-year-old went into the row in front of us and stood on a chair, which the guy next to him was totally down for. And they became, like, totally – this is an adult man. Just became total friends with this guy. I was talking about Missouri and all this stuff. And then next to me on the chair next to me was the six-year-old. And the six-year-old obviously can't read. So every time there'd be a huge music crew and or cue, and then it would pop up, you know, the name or whatever, and everybody would freak out. He'd go, "Who is it?" And I'd have to be like, "It's Drew McIntyre." Like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "He's amazing. He's a former champion. He's going to be great." Anyway. Anyways, we did the entire Rumble. That was great. WWE came over to me like, "All right, let's go talk to Cody. You know, you're going to have to probably, you're going to miss the Cody. You're going to miss the lights out match, the dark, you know, one or whatever."
Which, hold on. Let me stop you real quick.
The blacklight one, right?
Have you heard about this?
I've just seen a lot of clips online.
So Mountain Dew Pitch Black sponsored the event.
Yeah.
They specifically sponsored the first ever Pitch Black match.
Man, awesome. So me and Mountain Dew, or sponsored, me and WWE, both sponsored by Mountain Dew.
Yeah, the same.
And I love it because we did not know what that was going to be. And, like, they didn't announce, like, sometimes they announce new match types and they explain what the rule set will be or, like, what makes it different before the thing. They didn't. So it just started. We're like, what the fuck is this going to be? They turned off all the fucking lights in the arena, but it was all black lights.
Yeah.
And they had weird, like, face painted shit on them. It was one of the coolest fucking
things. It turns out somebody just watched Batman Forever.
It felt like that for sure. Continue.
What are you going to do, Bat Boy or whatever?
It was Batman and Robin. Sorry.
Yeah. No. It was Batman Forever. Yeah. Does Batman ever kiss the girl? Yeah, he kisses her.
Yeah, remember the girl and the.
So, anyways, I went back there and it was in holding for Cody, and again, you know, this whole ride to the Rumble with the kids, right? I've been explaining to them, talking about this. They came to breakfast with me, and I was staying at the hotel the talent was staying at. So, like, they were like on the walk-in, like, "Are we gonna see any superstars?" I'm like, "I don't know, maybe. And if so, you play it cool, act like you've been here before." And we sat down at the table, and I literally leaned over. I'm like, "All right. Two tables back against the wall. That's Bobby Lashley." And they stood up and started. I'm like, "No, sit down, play." I was joking with them. Play it cool. And then, like, Baron Corbin came in and sat by them and stuff. And he was with his kid and his wife. I was like, "Whatever." And luckily, when we left, Woods was in the lobby, so he took photos and, like, did the whole dog show for him. Anyways, but also the thing I kept preparing them for, I'm like, keep in mind, there's this lights out match, so they're gonna turn the thing, and it's Bray Wyatt, and he's kind of scary, but he can't hurt us. He won't hurt us. I'm backstage waiting for Cody Rhodes. Right, I missed the entire lights out match. I was like, "Oh man, whatever." And the next thing started, the Bianca match, and I get a text from Ashley, and she's like, "Yeah, they had a meltdown. I'm taking them home."
Oh, shit.
She's like, "They were holding it together fine, but then when Uncle Howdy started doing this stuff, they were like, I can't be a part of it yet." And I was like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry."
Dude, yeah.
I
can't be a part of it.
Like, the six-year-old, I just burst into tears, like, so terrified of it or whatever. I caught up with her that night, obviously, and had dinner, and she was like, he cried because, he was scared. And then, you know, the nine-year-old was just wiped. This was so much excitement. The nine-year-old described it as the best day of his life on the walk home. And the six-year-old loved it too by the end. So it's like, everything was fine. But it was like, it totally worked in my favor because, as you'd imagine, when you immediately win the Royal Rumble, your dance card's pretty booked. Yeah. So I never went back to my seats. I was backstage the rest of the Rumble, which of course is, on one side, "Oh, no, I didn't watch Rumble." On the other side, the coolest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah.
To be backstage during the Royal Rumble. And it's, like, eventually the women's one happened. It's like everybody who got eliminated then walked right by, and we got to talk to them. And, like, so many of them I already talked to for the show. So, or they knew me from other stuff too. So it would just be like somebody comes by and I'm like, "Oh my God, that was a great spot though. Oh, did it look good? Yeah, it looked great." Blah, blah, blah. You have these little interactions, which was really nice. But long story short is I was back there the entire time waiting for Cody. And, eventually, you know, they have a practice ring back there so you can warm up and do whatever. And so I'd seen it and eyed it early in the day, you know what I mean? But obviously people were using it all day long, getting limber, getting loose. And so eventually I saw somebody go in and take a phone call and then leave. And I leaned over to my producer and I'm just like, "So what do you say we pop in there? You let me run the ropes and take a few bumps." And he's like, "Somebody could be in there." I'm like, "Nobody's in there. I've been watching." And he's like, he opened it. He's like, "All right." So I went in there and I got to run the ropes, which hurt like shit. And then I was like, "All right, I'm going to take a bump." And he's like, you're not taking them. I'm like, I move my mic pack and I'm like, let me just do it. And I think I narrate that this is going to be the worst bump of all time. It's going to look like Tough Enough Season 1, but I did it. Go ahead and play it, kid.
Tough Enough Season 1. All right,
here's your bumping video.
Okay. Because I'm not going to do like Tough Enough, you know, like, I don't know. Like terrible, but so much fun, and it hurts so bad.
Well, you landed straight on your butt. I think you're supposed
to. Why you're supposed to go on your back and slam your arms down and fuck your
chin. You went butt down first. You gotta have faith in your back.
But that's the problem of, and this is what every first episode of Tough Enough was. Is like, hey, how are you gonna take a bump? What are you gonna do? You know, it's like it's hard to do or whatever. So yeah,
the ropes hurt.
The ropes hurt bad, yeah. I mean, they're steel cable. Shit. Yeah. It's just fucking hitting right off them. Yeah.
Did you round the ropes though?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. You want to see that video?
Yeah, I want to see that video.
Okay, hold on.
What would the first thing you do be if you're in there, Andy?
I would try to climb the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me
too. Oh, I mean,
yeah.
I have those. I'll send that photo to Kevin. Trust
how,
me.
How
trust
long
me,
did
I
it take?
Every chance. I did everything I could possibly do here
until you tried the 619.
I would frog splash.
Yeah.
Gotta try. Yeah. Appreciate that.
I would frog splash.
Go straight to a hurricanrana. On no one. Just by myself.
But again, it's not wrestling things.
I wanted to be a part of the fun.
Kevin, I sent you
so that was
next
a practice
one.
Ring? That's like a warm-up ring? Or
yeah, they got a warm-up ring in the back there. Yeah,
it's so cool because like I've seen that ring, well, you know, that version of it so many times in the documentaries. Like there was a really good one that they released about the first ever Women's Rumble years back.
This is fun.
And you just see Sasha and all them just like practicing in here before they actually go out and do it. Now Spurs, it's Greg Miller.
Representing the Spurs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really nice.
Go ahead, Kev. And it's not... Oh, doctor.
I just think about that. I just think about, I look at those things, Andy, and I go.
That's me on top. That's me atop turnbuckle. You said, what's the first thing you do? Of course I went to the fucking climb the turnbuckle. Yeah. You know what I mean? Can you show the video running
the
ropes,
belt
Kev?
There? I just one think, leg up.
I get anxiety when I look at those, though, because I go, how did they get that whole ring in there through that little door?
I mean, they built it. They built
sideways.
It.
Sideways. Tilt it over.
Smush it in. Kev, ready if you can. If it's there you go.
There you go. God, it's so loud. I love when they mic the stage.
See, it hurts. It hurts just to lean into it. And it's another one of like how many times I'd watch wrestling or, and I was like, I'm going to bump on the move. The Tough Enough or whatever, where they have like these huge bruises on their back because they run the ropes all day. And it's like, how could that be? And like, you did it. It's like, holy fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, you see, I'm not light. And you see how I'm barely affecting them. So imagine when you see them move, the amount of momentum they're putting into them and weight they're putting into them and bounce back.
Big boys too, yeah.
That Jake Paul jump was nuts.
Dude, it was insane.
Logan.
Oh, Logan Paul.
Yeah, and Ricochet. My God.
The fucking Fast and Furious jump. They jump from...
Did you see this?
Andy told me about it, but I get the Paul brothers confused. Is Jake Paul the one that's boxing? Or is Logan?
Jake Paul's the boxer. Logan Paul's the one who did some boxing, but now he's doing more WWE stuff.
Okay, cool.
He's also the one who, like, yeah, he's scamming everybody.
Yeah.
Shit happening right now.
Yeah.
But, like, they did the Fast and Furious jump from where Dom and Letty save each other. Yeah, sure. They went from, like...
Iconic.
One side of the rope to the other side of the rope on each side of the ring, and they jumped
bounced
and
on
met
the
in
rope,
the middle.
Met in the middle of the ring.
It was so fucking cool looking.
Damn, good for him.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it.
It's exciting. There, it sounds exciting the way you're...
There it is.
Yeah.
Kevin, I'm sending
you're
you...
Describing it to me.
Oh, here you go. Have it. All
right,
great.
There you go. He's got it right here. So is he trying to be legit like WWE?
Oh,
holy shit. That was insane. Okay.
I mean, he's not trying. He is. He's had several matches now, and...
I mean, he's very athletic.
If you want to hate Logan Paul, fine, but you can't. I mean, he's good in the ring. He's entertaining to watch.
This is
he does
incredible.
Cool shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like every wrestling fan, Nick, is like, we don't really like Logan Paul. He's really fucking good at this, though. Like,
I mean, fucking A right now. Maybe he's found his people.
Yeah. It's like fish to water sort of thing.
Do this
like,
cool
he
thing
just
for
looks
a while.
Like he's always belonged in there.
Wow.
Yeah. I was back there the whole time talking to everybody doing the job. You know,
see Dave Robinson?
I didn't see. Was he there?
Tim Duncan was there, too.
Was he?
All the Spurs.
Seriously?
No.
You should have said something. I wouldn't. And it was awesome. Again, like, you know, I was back there for when Cody came back through gorilla position after winning the Royal Rumble. And I sent Tim was like, that was awesome. Yada, yada. And I sent him back a photo from my perspective. And it was me, DDP, and then the entire, like, people filming the thing with Cody interviewing him about winning the Rumble or whatever.
So cool.
And then, you know, hours later, he made his way back there to talk to us. And he was super nice, super cool. Just what you want out of him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was another great experience.
When are we going to get Cody on the podcast?
When do you want Cody on the podcast?
I mean, he just loves games. Like, I would just,
he does,
it'd
yeah.
be
yeah,
cool
yeah.
to have him on Gamescast or something.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I wonder, you do that, right? You work really hard, professional setting.
Sure.
12 hours.
Sure.
Then you come back here.
Yeah.
What's that letdown like?
No, there's no. Well, that was the thing about it where it was like,
what's
you know,
it like coming back to the.
It's, I don't want this to belittle the experience at all, but I think you'll follow me on it.
Why'd you
stick
call
with
me?
Me.
Well, I don't know.
I'm just honest. Where, like, you know, Jen's on another trip, and so she had hit me up and, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I'm missing this. It's such a cool moment in your career, yada, yada, yada. And I hit her back and I'm like, you're fine. Like, SummerSlam was the crazy ride, emotional, and then the Paul Heyman thing at the end and the right. shit eating grin as we walked home. Like, I was like, this was work. This was my job. This is what I do. This
you're
was a gig.
The looking glass
and it was
now.
Like, yeah, now I'm like, don't get me wrong. I'm back. I think my Instagram post was like, you know, so I'm never going to get tired of this because I'm not. But then there was, I changed my Twitter header to like when they had me alone in the room at one point, I went and did my own little Raven photo shoot like on the bottom rope or whatever. And then I fucking went in a practice ring. And I was taking advantage of the situation, you know, in a good way. But it wasn't like SummerSlam where it was like, this is all so fresh and new and I'm amped out of my mind. I was very much like, cool, I'm doing my job here. Because luckily, even with IGN, right, we talk to superstars all the time.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
Hell, look how cool I look right there, right? Yeah.
Incredible.
Raven used to do that back in ECW. No big deal.
I remember.
I mean, probably did in WWE too. But, you know.
Both the Raven. Yeah.
Nevermore. Remember him? Great times.
I learned about that fucking quote before I even knew who the fuck what's
Edgar
his
Poe was.
That guy, yeah
fair enough. Fuck that guy. It's Baltimore. All about Raven.
We got to get Cody here. I want Andy and him to stream It Takes Two together.
Okay.
Cody!
Good game. Me and Nick played through that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been your Kind of Funny Podcast. There he is, the man. Look at that, Raven. Killing it out there. This has been your Kind of Funny Podcast. Of course, if you didn't know, each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on this table, each coming to BS with each other about whatever it is they want to BS about. If you want to BS with us, you can write in with your topics over on kindoffunny.com/KF podcast. Of course, you can get the show for ad-free. You can get dozens of bonus episodes of the show. You can get the ability to watch live all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, we love you and appreciate you. Thank you for supporting over there. If you want a free version, chock full of ads and none of the bonuses, you can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.